What's up, everybody? Welcome to the CaliCast. I'm Uriah Faber, the California Kid. Be spitting some knowledge, telling stories, and having a good time. For those that don't know, Corey has been coming out to Team Alpha Male. She came for the first time to test out the water. She was testing out all of America in 2015. And you were how old then?
16.
16 years old. Made a little short stint at Team Alpha Male, went out to King's MMA, went to Glendale, and kind of toured California. And that was a family trip? What was that all about?
Yeah, so for the first couple of years when I left school, my family holidays were orientated around me trying out different gyms. Because we were very aware, obviously, just how the MMA scene is out here. It's very different to back home. So eventually I'd probably need to, you know, expand my broaden my horizons.
So what is the difference? Give us some details on the. I've been there once or twice, but is it there's no big time gyms over there, or how's it work?
No, there's obviously a lot of great teams, some very great coaching staff. Uh-huh. I was very fortunate with my situation, but at the same time, there's not that professional gym, so there's not like morning, lunchtime, evening classes. I was doing a lot of driving around, looking for partners, looking for classes, paying right. for like. Private training and everything, whereas obviously out here it's a lot more easily accessible. You've got like the highest level training partners and coaches all under one roof,
right?
You know, all day, every day.
And who are some of the standout UK fighters that you looked up to growing up? I mean, off the top of your head, was there anyone that was the mainstay? I'm trying to think of it and I can't.
So funny enough, one of my, you know, old training partners, Arnold Allen, he was meant to be fighting. It's out. Sorry, I panicked then. I didn't know if it was out. But it's out. Yeah, so he was meant to be fighting Jeremy Stephens,
right.
November 7th. So obviously I grew up with him, and there were a lot of other high-level Cage Warriors guys, but in terms of like UFC level, I grew up
Who were the big UFC fighters in the UK?
Yeah, so obviously I had like Arnold Allen like since I was like 13. Mm-hmm. And then in Wales, got like Jack Shaw, Brett Johns, Jack Marshman, who's fighting this weekend also. You know, obviously, I don't know, Brad Pickett, like obviously way back.
That's
way
the
back
one.
When.
I'm like, okay, that's not that far back now. Come on, Corey, that's not that far back.
Don't know how you like that, but.
Okay, yeah, so Brad Pickett's one. Who's the dude that got kicked out of the UFC for punching Koscheck after the bell? Daly.
Paul Daly.
He was a wild man from the UK. Oh, Michael Bisping.
Oh, geez, yeah.
The Count. Oh, my God.
Too many.
Mike,
see,
I apologize
too many.
For Corey's ignorance. I mean, who would have thought she didn't give Michael Bisping a little credit here? Can you apologize to Mike?
I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay, that's right. So we got – those are some of the – I'll say Pickett. And Bisping, two of the pioneers.
Like the old school ones.
That's right. Yeah, it was just off the top of my head. It wasn't popping for me. So, so you came out, and that was pretty cool. Your family vacation revolves around you training, and I know a little bit about your family history. Your dad, kind of a wild man in his own right. He was like an extremist when it came to, I guess it would be fitness, or what would you call it? Marathon running.
Yeah. So he was. Predominantly like marathon running. He had a Guinness World Record for running a marathon with like, I think it was like 60 pounds on his back or something, for like, you know, in all his army kit.
But he was in the military.
He was
growing
in the military,
up.
Yeah. So,
so was it militant in the house for you? Is it like everything about regimen?
He's very much like big on obviously being punctual and being organized. He's not like your stereotypical. You know, drill sergeant dad, but like he was always, if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. So I do try, and obviously that's why I'm always at the gym a bit early and make sure I'm ready to go.
Well, up until lately, there's a guy named Dwight Joseph who
taken over my influence
has now influenced Corey massively, and now she's been a little bit late to every single practice. But I won't tell your pops unless he's watching this. I mean. I don't think he follows much of your stuff these days. So if he
don't
does see
say
it,
that. He watches everything. That's him. He's my biggest supporter.
I know, that was sarcasm, by the way. But so he ended up having we're gonna brush over that, a Guinness Book World Record.
Yes, he had a Guinness Book. He's not in the book, but he has the certificate. He just missed out on the book.
And that is for having a 60-pound weight. And do you remember the time that he ran that?
I don't.
Oh, my gosh, Corey.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe
I'm a terrible daughter. But, yeah, no, he's scary quick. Like, I ran, like, a half marathon, before coming out here. Like,
yeah.
Just as a bit of – I'm overly competitive. One of the guys bet I couldn't do it, so I went and did it. I think it took me, like, 2 hours. And then my dad messaged me and was like, well, at 18, I ran a full marathon in 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like
– He doubled you.
Yeah, I was like, that's bad.
So you've got a long line of guys that like to punish themselves. That sounds like a miserable task, running with 60 pounds on your back for a full marathon at the speed he was doing it to set a world record.
Yeah, I'd rather get punched in the face.
And he's got now some health issues a little bit. Is that –
Yeah, so he's got like a broken back, spinal cord.
Was
like,
that related to the Guinness Book stuff?
No, that's like just like degenerative stuff. But also, obviously, in the military, he was doing a lot of parachuting.
Oh, that's right.
All that sort of stuff that went on. So, yeah. So
he's like a real G.I. Joe UK version.
Yeah, he's pretty tough. He's where I get my stubbornness from. So.
And on the other side, you've got your mom. And so let me get this straight, because we don't want to get it twisted and want credit where credit's due. Did she start fighting after you got mixed martial arts involved, or was she the person that pushed you into mixed martial arts? And how did that whole work to where you and your mom ended up fighting both at the same time professionally?
So she was doing like a bit of karate with my brother. Like it's just a hobby. I ended up going along to a few sessions for a hobby. And then I went off. I branched into like jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. Eventually turned around and went, right, come on, we're going to an MMA gym. So dragged her along. And then, yeah, we both kind of just fell in love with it together. So we were each other's main training partners because, you know, she ended up fighting at atom weight. So I actually outgrew her. But we were like the same, you know, we were similar sort of weight. So we kind of trained with each other. We made our amateur debuts on the same card. My last amateur fight was like her pro debut. So like for a lot of times we were like fighting, like say on the same night.
And how old were you when that happened?
I made my amateur debut at 15.
15. And she was?
34.
34. 15 and 34, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty well. So you guys were fighting both professionally at that time. You're professional at 15 or
no?
No,
that was amateur.
You're both amateur at that time.
Yeah.
Gotcha. But she ended up making her pro debut as well.
Yeah, she made her pro debut a few years later. She went on to like co-main Cage Warriors and everything. So, you know, she only had a few fights, but she got up there. She did really well.
So just so people get an idea of what's going on here, we have a program called Train with Tam. A lot of people, Vince Murdoch was one of those guys, Cody Garbrandt, Paige Van Zandt, the list goes on of people that have come through our program and become part of our team, Teruto Ishihara and Song Yadong and Nad Nirmini, you know, the people that come from all over the world to be a part of this thing. Corey stood out. When she was here, you know, obviously very polite. She was young, I think 17 at the time when you made an actual, like, longer stay, not just to check us out.
Yeah.
And super high skill set, was able to go hard with the guys. And once I got to know Corey a little bit, she started telling me about her, you know, trip here to the original time when she was only 16 or 15. And her whole family made it a family vacation to go check out training for her. And then I go on to find out that her whole house had been turned into a gym. So there's like levels of the gym. There's like the living room was, how was that set up? It was actually, you have a couple story house and the house is set up to be a gym.
Yeah. So we had like a 3-story house, which meant we had obviously 2 living rooms. So one of the living rooms was weights and like cardio room. And then the garage outside had been converted into like just fully matted out with bags and stuff like that in it. And then,
so,
yeah, it's pretty much the same at my new house as well, back home.
Yeah. Then you guys moved and you did the same thing.
Yeah.
That's good. So was there ever like, you know, family arguments, you take it to the, okay, let's take it outside, let's take it to the garage?
Doesn't tend to go that far now. My mum's retired, my dad's obviously injured, and my little brother's pretty chilled, so luckily I'm the only aggressive one in the house, so it doesn't go that far.
Did you tell me that your mom had COVID and was housed with your dad, who has the back issue, and it was like a life-threatening scenario?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously my dad's like really high risk, but, like my mom's like, they say, just she had to isolate for 2 weeks and got over that.
But in the same house as your...
Yeah, so obviously he had to stay on the complete opposite side of the house.
And I was like, well, he seems young and everything else. And you said, no, if he were to sneeze or cough, that is straight to the emergency room.
Yeah, his back's like so bad that like you say like a sneeze or a cough, like that's him in excruciating pain. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So props to your pops for being the pioneer of doing intense things in the family, and then your mom followed suit, and now we have, you know, little young Corey McKenna fighting in the best organization in the world, about to have your actual debut before the first fight was short notice. It was super wild the way it all came together, and Jack did an amazing job of pulling all the pieces together on the other side of the planet. Corey is quarantined in the UK, and I get a short notice call to get her in the Contender Series, and we had to get it all done. What was that call like, and what was the preparation like? I mean, did you think there's a chance you weren't going to make it happen? How'd it go?
Yeah, to be honest, like even the day before I was meant to fly out to Vegas, Jack was like, I don't think this is going to happen. Literally, like, on the way to the airport, I swung in somewhere to like grab my visa, drove straight to the airport, met my parents there. They had a bag of clothes, and then we just like, you know, we went straight through and ran to my flight. So it was very, very, very close. Like you say,
wait, how much notice do we have? Was it 2 weeks?
3 weeks, just three under. Weeks. Yeah. Like you say, you text me. I was literally, I'd woke up. We were sneaking in the gym to spar once a week. So I was just about to head off to sneaky sparring, and then I got a text from you,
sparring,
so
I like that.
That definitely you know, picked me up a bit, got me motivated. Like, I'd been training hard anyway. Obviously, I'd had 18 months layoff, but I'd been doing back camps just because, you know, stuff kept happening and coming up as it does. But it was very tight, very, very close to getting it
done.
And
you got there how many, 4 days before the fight?
Yeah, so we got out there on the Tuesday. No, I fought on the Tuesday, so I got out there on the Friday.
And the backstory on this is, I've been telling Mick for a long time, I've got young Corey McKenna, she's been coming out since she's 17 and singing the praises, and I saw him in Abu Dhabi at the Fight Island, and he was like, oh yeah, I'm going to get her on, and I reminded him, and he's like, oh, I've got a fight for you, called, and we had to rush order to get this whole thing done, and Corey was an underdog in that fight, not in our minds obviously, but in the whoever makes the odds. I don't think the matchmakers were prepared for, you know, Corey to come out and do her thing the way she did, but that was a tough fight. And that was, how do you pronounce the girl's name?
Demopolis.
Demopolis. And Demopolis had some steam. She was kind of the unsigned best out of the U.S. because she was the LFA champion at that time, right?
Yeah.
And so we got that short notice call. Corey got in there and had a dominant performance and got the contract, and now we're getting ready to fight. What do you remember most about that whole experience? Is it any different than, you know, did you have the UFC jitters? Was it anything separate from the fights you've had in the past?
No, like I always say, obviously, like the cheesy, every fight's your biggest fight. But also, I think with it being like in the Apex, there was no crowds. Like, obviously, everything was such a stress and a rush to get there that when I got there, like I was saying to my friends, like, I almost felt more relaxed because it was kind of like everything was done. I was there. It was almost like it'd been so hard to get there that it almost felt like nothing could go wrong. Like I almost just had to win because like I'd worked so hard just to get in there.
Yeah.
And then obviously, like you say, I was quarantined the entire time. I had, you know,
how long were you quarantined?
It's like 4 days. So we pretty much didn't leave the hotel,
Right.
But like obviously I was with you, Jack, like my best mate, Charlie came out to train with me. So I had a body and like, so it just end up like feeling more like you know, a training trip away, like a little spa day. It was quite fun.
That's good, yeah. And then, you know, Dana was impressed. He was, you know, he likes to keep everyone in suspense about talking about whether or not someone's going to get a contract. But at the end of the day, he said, you know, there's a lot of hype behind the girl that you had fought, and you came in and dominated. He liked that you threw down. If you watch the fight, if you guys go on Fight Pass, look up Corey McKenna, Corey Poppins, and watch her do her thing. But it was dominant. The girl was known as a high level jiu-jitsu player. She's an athlete, a dancer. That was her thing. You know, she's a stripper basically, and that was kind of what she was saying. That it was a great prerequisite for the fight game. And honestly, she had some dexterity and flexibility that, you know, comes from being on the pole, possibly. I don't know. But wasn't enough for Corey McKenna.
Yeah, she was tough.
They got
Corey
McKenna.
Yeah, she was tough. Like, fair play to her. Like, obviously, you know, she, like you said, she's the best girl that's not signed to the UFC. I think she's fighting in a week or two's time as well.
Where's she fighting?
She's on LFA again.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, it's, you know, it was a great fight, tough opponent. And obviously, I was really happy to get the
Just turned 21?
Yeah. Funny enough, actually, I think you text me like a week after my birthday.
Yeah, so. A week after your birthday, 21.
Yeah.
Came in there and got it done. That's what everyone got to see, because probably the most eyeballs in any of your fights has been in that fight. But what did they not get to see on the path to being able to dominate in a UFC contention fight? What age were you when you started training, and what did that look like? Were you a grappler first, a striker first? What were kind of the paths that you took to get there?
So, you know, I started, like, say, karate when I was about like 10. Even when I was doing that, I was in the gym 7 days a week. You know, I've always been one of those people that once I've decided I want to do something, I commit fully to it. So then once I started jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai at the same time. So again, no real style like that.
Age was that when you did jiu-jitsu?
That would be about 11 or 12.
Okay.
So yeah, so pretty much for the
last... Were there a lot of girls doing this at your age in the UK?
Not really. There were a few. Like you say, my parents were super supportive of me. My dad would drive me, you know, 4 hours to a jiu-jitsu competition. I'd compete against the exact same girl that I competed against like 2 weeks ago, just for a bit of experience. You know, the divisions were tiny. Like a lot of my competitions growing up, I'd jump in the boys' divisions or I'd go up weight classes. It actually popped up in my memories. I think it was 14, maybe 15, and I competed in the boys under 70 kilos category. I was weighing like 48 kilos. That's like 65 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Difference.
So you were doing not just training in the gym, but you're doing as many competitions as possible.
Yeah, like, so my amateur debut, I had three fights that month. I had a boxing fight, and then so I had my amateur MMA debut, and then the week after I had a boxing fight, and then the week after that I had a Muay Thai fight. Like, I was pretty much fighting every weekend, getting as much experience as possible.
And it's funny because I talked to Jack, and he was saying, now you never went to college.
No.
And the way you tested on your skills or on the IQ test and whatnot, they're saying, oh, this girl's super highly intelligent. She should be going to an Ivy League school and blah, blah, blah. Was school something that you had ever thought about growing up? Obviously, you got good grades and you had some gifts there, but was it something like, should I go to school first? Should I do this? When did you know for a fact that this is what you wanted to do?
Oh, I was probably, so up until about 13, 14, like, I was really big on school, like, massive book nerd. You know, I trained every day of the week, but also, you know, I was always on top of my studies. I think my mum said I was like 2 when I turned around and said I wanted to be a scientist. Like, I've always been very driven towards one thing, you know. So yeah. I stuck with that, and then about 13, 14, I went, oh, actually, I wanna fight. But you know, I never let my grades drop. I just, you know, I was one of those kids that do my homework at lunchtime so that I could train in the evening. You know, I'd you know, go for a run in the school gym at lunchtime and, you know, just make ways to get extra stuff in.
That's pretty wild that, I mean, obviously you come from some pretty unique parents. Your dad, you know, what he's been through and put himself through, and your mom, obviously not afraid to take some risks, but pretty cool to see a young kid. And it's funny because I have my kids now and see the personality that already at a young age where they're just their own person. That's pretty cool that you're able to decide what you want to do and then attack it like that. What was the goal? I mean, have you given a thought to what your goal is in your career? Are you going to fight until you're, you know, old? Are you waiting to to be a world champion? Would you like to stay within the sport once you're done? Or have you given a thought to any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I can't really imagine myself doing anything outside of this sport anymore. Like I've, like I said, I've invested so much of my life in it. I'm very passionate about
You're very young now. It. There's a lot of time left.
In terms of, like, I always joke, I'm like, I'm just gonna retire. Not retire. I'm gonna fight until I'm made to retire. But you know, at the end of the day, like, the main goal is just to be the best in the world. Like, I already know I'm capable of it. You know, I'm gonna be a world champion. I just want to make sure that, you know, there's no doubts that I've fought everybody. I've proven myself, and I'll see how the body holds up.
Yeah, and do you think about, like, because I know that when I was in the midst of my fight game, I was never thinking ahead of things. But I also wasn't a kid that knew what I wanted when I was a little kid. I was just kind of like, do what I wanted, what I liked to do, etc. Do you feel like you have an idea of what you want to do after the fight game, or have you even thought about that at all?
I'd probably stem into coaching or something. Like, I very much enjoy that. You know, obviously I'm helping out coaching at the moment. I started coaching the kids' classes back home when I was about 15, maybe even earlier. So I've always kind of had a little bit of a, like, enjoyment towards the coaching side of things. So I think when I retire, I probably go down that route. But like you say, I'm still young. I'm going to be fighting until I'm at least, how old are you, like 16?
I'm young. I can't even remember how old I am. I'm so young.
There's plenty of life left in me. So I'll worry about that when it comes. But like you say, as long as I'm training and I'm fighting and I'm making the right moves in the right directions, I'm happy.
It's funny because Corey now is 21, which... You know, she comes off so proper in the way she speaks, and she's got a little accent and whatnot. And I've known her since she was 17, actually, because we had the fighter house, and I'm like, I'm not putting this girl at this fighter house. So Corey actually lived here at my house during her stays as a fighter, two different times, right?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Yeah, a couple of times. So, you know, keep her away from the heathens, and you know, it's funny. I just taught her some life lessons in chess, how to be humble in defeat. Also,
you haven't played me since my last near win, I'm just saying.
Near win, near. Oh, near is the key word there, but yeah.
Stalemate.
But, you know, one of the things that stuck out to me, because I got to see you firsthand, the way you live, is how precise. You had a running regimen that your father put together for you, you had a diet plan, you couldn't only eat. You wouldn't eat salmon. I was giving her trifecta food, and she's like, I can't eat salmon. I can only eat whitefish. I can do this. I can do that. The discipline is pretty impressive. What is your let loose? What do you do to get out of regimen? I mean, what are the things that you enjoy? Is there anything?
I've been doing a lot of, like, painting and drawing lately.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, just to... Poppins paintings on Instagram if anyone watching. But yeah, so I've been doing a lot of that to, like, kind of relax and just kind of you know, take my mind off stuff. Like I say, I've always enjoyed reading, so I do a lot of reading in my downtime.
What kind of books?
I'm currently on book, like, 4 of the Game of Thrones series, but I'm really not too fussy.
Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings.
Not Star Wars, but yeah, like, I like a lot of you know, a lot of, like, I suppose, like, fantasy stuff, like, just kind of stuff that can lose yourself in and switch your mind off. You don't have to think too much.
Nice. So you're that's obviously where you got The Hobbit. That you're a big fan of Lord of the Rings.
Nope. This was funny enough. I don't think I'd actually seen the movies at the time either. But I was
really.
This was from when I was competing in Thai boxing. Before one of my walkouts. One of my coaches just looked at me, gave me, like, I think he, like, leant on my head because I'm so short, and he was just like, oh, like, you're a little hobbit. And then gradually, obviously, more people started calling me the Hobbit because I was the smallest person at the gym, and it just kind of stuck. So since about 13-14, I've just been called the Hobbit on a daily basis, like, introduced as the Hobbit. So it kind of just stuck with me.
That's awesome. And so, you know, I've been a guy that's been around Sacramento my whole life. I've had some stints, lived in Vegas for The Ultimate Fighter, went away to college at UC Davis, which is a whopping 20 minutes away. You know, traveled the world, but have lived in one place. Was it scary for you as a young girl, as a 17-year-old, taking your whole life and coming out here on your own? Was it exciting? Was it scary? Was there any trepidation? What was it like being in a whole new environment in a whole nother country on your own?
Oh, it was very exciting for me. I'm not one of those people to get like nervous about something. Like say it's something I'd always wanted to do. I'd known that I wanted to do it for quite a while. So for me, it was just good. It was a great opportunity. So I wasn't gonna, you know, I wasn't gonna waste it by getting nervous or getting homesick or any of that nonsense. Yeah. But also my like parents, like you say, like they're very supportive, and they both left home at a young age. You know, my mum joined the army at 16. My dad joined at 17. So,
oh, wow.
You know, they've always been very. Not they're not like pushed me out or anything. Obviously,
yeah, they're like, get the hell out, Corey. We've had enough.
Quit
beating up your mom in the kitchen and making your dad laugh and cough. Go to the hospital.
yeah, but like, so for them, they've always been very big on me being independent and kind of like, you know, not being afraid to step out of my comfort zones. Like my dad would drive me, you know, all around England and Wales to try out different gyms, and he would sit in the car outside and he'd be like, right. Go on in, you know, I'd be 14, just walking into these professional gyms by myself. Like, so I was very, very used to kind of just
independence.
Yeah, being independent, like as That's much awesome. As I've lived at home.
And, yeah, so obviously, you know, worldly at this point, and you've got all these different disciplines under your belt. Do you have a favorite discipline? Mixed martial arts is a blend of everything. Do you have a favorite that stands out to you? You more jiu-jitsu, more wrestling, more Muay Thai, or are you pure MMA at the heart?
No, yeah, I love it all equally. I go through phases where I get a bit more excited about one thing. That's just because I think everyone does when you have a little bit of success. But you know, when it comes to each discipline, I love them all equally. I train them all equally. So I really couldn't say I lean towards one.
I guess that's kind of the big difference now. People are talking about the new age of MMA, and you're kind of that. You've learned the blend versus a guy like me who came in as a Division I wrestler and had to quickly learn boxing and Muay Thai and put it all together. Today's day and age, it's a blend of everything, and Corey's a good example of that. So this next fight, what do you know about your girl? What's the opponent's name?
So I'm fighting Kay Hansen, you know, another young prospect and just got signed. You know, she's a very tough opponent. Again, like obviously we're in the UFC now, so I wouldn't expect anything less. Very skilled grappler. You know, she's tidy on the feet.
She is tidy on the feet.
Was that,
you sure?
Is that a very American of a bit of Welsh coming out then? You know, she's clean. So like she's got good technique. Like you say, working with very high level coaching staff and everything, improving. You know, she's been in the game for quite a while herself, so I think
you had an eye on her? I mean, at this point, she's kind of in the same position you are. Did you already know who she was? And even though she's not signed to the UFC, do you have a kind of a lens out there on all the competitors?
Not really. I didn't really know too much about her until she got like a last minute call up on the UFC. I think it was July. I watched that fight live, but other than that, like I hadn't really seen it. I hadn't seen any of her fights before. But yeah, she's skilled. She got like pulled off like some flashy subs. She got some like tricky skills that, you know. But
yeah, I think she's a 10th Planet girl.
Yeah,
and from what I understand, I think she's got a coach, maybe coach boyfriend that is a high level jiu-jitsu player, also instructor. From what I saw when I was doing a little research, looks like she's a good athlete. It's gonna be a good tactical matchup. I feel like the stand-up, she's definitely like fundamentals. It's not like a ton of tricks. You kind of know what you're going to get. She's super aggressive. So it's going to be a good match. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, like I think, you know, both very technical. I think you get some good technical exchanges. But I also from a couple of the fights that I have seen from her, like neither of us are afraid to have a little bit of a tear-up. So I'm sure there'll be some fun exchanges in there as well as technical exchanges.
Yeah. That being said, I know you got to get going back to teach the next generation. What's up with the romance life? I know you shunned Valentine's Day in the past. Corey was the one the Grinch that stole Valentine's Day. You single, ready to mingle? You got a special someone out there? She hates this. This is gonna oust her.
I just train and focus on training. Yep, that's my sole focus right now. I've got some big fights coming up. You know, I've got, you know, I'm taking it taking it very seriously and focusing on that. The rest will be there when I'm interested, I suppose.
Can't believe you're that embarrassed, Corey. I'm just asking you if you got any special men in your life. Now, the last thing, can you give me three words that you guys use in the UK that we do not use in America?
Oh, gosh. What have I used lately? I've actually been discussing this a lot in the gym. I say naff a lot. Rubbish. Naff and rubbish are pretty much the same thing. It's kind of like...
Trash.
Trash, yeah. And then if I take something or I steal something, I say I nick it.
Nick it?
Nick it. So,
okay, so it's taff, rubbish.
Naff.
Naff.
Yeah, rubbish.
Rubbish.
And nick. There and you go.
Nick. Nick. What do you call it when you sucker punch somebody? We call it like a side bust or sucker punch.
I suppose sucker punch would probably still apply, yeah.
You don't have any other cool names for it?
No, sorry.
That's unfortunate.
Or else, there's loads of words.
And lastly, are there any words here in America? Because I know the other day in practice, you were cracking up because I was saying something. I can't even remember what it was.
Let's not discuss that.
I said, what was it again? I can't say it? Okay, it's a derogatory remark that I accidentally said?
Yeah.
Okay, what are some other words that we use in America that you don't use in the UK?
I learned faux-sholy and finner. That's some slang that I learned this week.
Wait, so say it again?
Faux-sholy, which apparently means for sure.
I've never heard of that myself.
And then
who taught you that?
Bulldog.
Okay.
Yep. And then you say tripping a lot instead of like I'm not worried. You say I'm not tripping.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yep. And then finner instead of going to gonna finner.
Finning. Who like says that?
All the kids. All the kids out here. I'm trying to be cool.
Let me hear you say it. Use it in a sentence.
I'm finna go teach the kids class. He's loving this.
All right. We'll end on that one. Thanks, Corey.